Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 3rd, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is what it always has been, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, also on that first number, 620-878-4682, if you want to discuss Thanksgiving or what you might want to donate or something, if you live in Wichita, that's a good number to get a hold of my wife with, because she usually checks the machine and gets the numbers off and gives them to me. Anyway, in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our email address, our mailing address, all these things at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And like I said, we have the breaking news over there. But, you know, if you just simply want another blog to look at that has just audio archives, try messiahsbranch.com. We're trying to get some things switched around, messiahsbranch.com. Anyway, check out also branch.podomatic.com, because, you know, both those other two sites have links to the audio archives. Have what you would call just links or players to the audio archives. The real audio archives exist at branch.podomatic.com, and they have a couple. They have an Apple app and an Android app over there for smartphones, and so you might check them out. And while we're on the subject of apps, you know, I said it earlier in a set of radio program. I spent 3 hours working on apps last night. Because I'm 61 years old. I'm not the fastest person there is with a computer. Anyway, I got one all made and everything. Got downloaded my son's phone. It looked real good. And then I noticed that it only works for 5 days unless I pay him a huge amount of money. There are some free apps out there. If anybody that's real good computer savvy and would like to help me build an app, get a hold of me, because we really do need one for this ministry, and it would help us greatly. So, moving right along, remember prayer. Excuse me, I had to take a sip. I don't know what happened. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by U.S. Postal and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back if you so please. The reason for your return address is because these requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you with no solicitation for donations at all whatsoever. In fact, as my wife says, I'll just lose your address. Unless for some reason you tell us to keep it. I don't know what for, because we have not been able to do a mail-out newsletter in a long time, because we either need a sponsor for the newsletter, or we need a up-to-date laser printer that can print high volume. Anyway, we are a national satellite program which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Portugal, South Africa, Tehran, Iran, Manila, Philippines, Finland, Melbourne, Australia, and, of course, cities in the United States such as San Jose, California, Omaha, Nebraska, Las Vegas, Nevada, Northport, Alabama, Austin, Texas, and actually a whole bunch of places in Texas, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Now, while we gained, we have one fellow over there that's a supporter, but he didn't, I don't think, found out it. He listens to us now on radio, but I don't remember that he found out about us from radio. But the point is if all these people out there that are listening to radio, pray about supporting what we do in your city to the least of these. Now, prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. We'll have a real good program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, nor our guest will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Lift the veil from them, Father. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, this election is one of the most important times of the United States, and I think actually right now one of the most important times of the whole world. As, you know, so many times the president of America is called the leader of the free world. But is he the leader of the free world? What does he really lead? Anyway, but will it matter? Is Trump a gift from the Father to a repented nation of this world? I really don't know the answer to that because I'm not the creator. I don't know how many people repented to me and to so many others. It looks like if Hillary wins, it's over for any kind of peace for Christians and, well, many others that aren't Christians. And possible nuclear war with Russia, which I think would be really one-sided. But what if Trump wins or gets close to winning? Will the One World Order crowd allow that to happen? If not, what would happen? What is on the horizon? You know, folks, we only got a few days to think. We're what? This is the third, so we got, what, 5 days? Tonight we have on with us the author of the book, The End of America. His name is John Price, and he's been on with us before. John contends that, yes, America is Babylon. In fact, he has left America because of this. We told you a couple of weeks back about that Dimitri Dudeman said an angel told him that America was Mystery Babylon. He says there is a warning to flee the United States before destruction. Also, we believe that Islam has a huge role in the end times, as it says in the book, The End of America. And he does accurately talk about this. So if you don't have the book, you should go over and check it out and get the book. Tonight, we're going to ask him to answer a couple of questions. Does he really? Because he put out something about this. Will the 2016 election take place in a few days? Will it get stolen? And probably a lot of other questions like, what happens when? Who wins? Anyway, let's get him on here. Welcome, John Price. Are you there with me, John?
Yes, Pastor Dan. It's good to be back with you. I was looking at my schedule, and I had been on your show with you in 2013, 2014, and 2015. So it's good to be back with you.
Well, I knew you'd been on with me a few times, and it seemed like that's just three times. But we've talked several times, and every time we have talked, those programs I know I've got a lot of reaction from them. You're one of the people that you did actually exercise your faith in that you believe America's Mystery Babylon, and that's why you left America, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. Somebody said to my wife a few years ago when we were moving out of the country, why in the world would you want to do this? And she said, I have one word for you, obedience. And I said, you know, that's correct, because God 10 times in his word, 10 times, warns his people, 7 to the church and 3 to Jewish people, to flee Babylon, to get out of Mystery Babylon, to leave Babylon the Great before its final destruction. And we can talk tonight about what that timing might be, but if a person who's a Christian who reads the Word and studies it and prays has concluded that the United States is indeed the daughter of Babylon, then it's just a matter of deciding when to be obedient or, frankly, a willful decision not to follow the instruction to flee. A lot of people in Germany back in the 30s, particularly Jewish people, saw what was coming. They knew that crazy man with the funny mustache had promised in a book, Mein Kampf, that he was going to kill the Jews. And some of them took it seriously. As a matter of fact, 500,000 German Jewish people believed what was coming, and they fled. And they mainly moved to Canada and other parts of Europe. Let's see, where else they go? Some to the United States, a few. But the 4.5 million that stayed, two-thirds of those, 3 million, lost their lives in the ovens. So the reason I'm bringing that up is that that's a modern-day parallel. But let's look at a scriptural parallel besides the verses I just mentioned.
Okay.
If your listeners are fans of the Old Testament and they like to read and see how God worked in the past, they should go to the book of Jeremiah. Because in two different chapters in Jeremiah, I believe it's 21 and 38, Jeremiah's job was to go to the people in Judah and to tell them to flee, to get out of Judah. And, of course, he didn't have a very good reaction from people there. At one point, they dumped him in a mud pit. They put him in prison more than once. But the reason he was telling them to flee was that God knew that he was bringing Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in to conquer Judah, and that if they stayed, they would die by the sword and violence and famine. So he warned them. A lot of the people at that time took his warning and left, but unfortunately a lot didn't. And they stayed and they died. And some of them said, well, we're going to hike on down to Egypt. And again, God used Jeremiah to say, there are lots of places to go, but don't go to Egypt, because he knew what was going to happen there, because eventually Nebuchadnezzar came down and attacked Egypt. Mm-hmm. And those people died also. So this is not the first time in history in regard to Bible prophecy that God has said, to save your life, you need to get out. And also the second thing about it is, he said, besides saving your life, if you move out, you're not going to stay and participate in the sins of the daughter of Babylon. So I think these things are difficult to talk about. I know they are, because we have family and friends who visit us all the time in Central America, but who generally, most of them have not made the ultimate decision to leave. And I'm glad we're talking about this very subject tonight, 5 days before the election, because as I'm sure you've discussed on your program, there are all kinds of reasons to believe that in the next few days, next few weeks, sometime very shortly, America is going to enter a horrendous period of turmoil. I think that will go
both ways. And you made some very good points about it. And of course, that's why I asked you on. And we can start with that. And I may go back with a couple of questions about, you know, Babylon decisions to flee or whatever, because it's just questions for what I've got from people, and we want your point of view on it. But so first off, you know, you wrote a letter a couple of weeks ago or something like that. I don't know my timing on things anymore. Decisions the world's greatest. But you wrote a letter and sent it out, and you were talking about that there. You thought maybe there's a possibility the election would even be thrown. What do you think?
Well, there are two potentials, and as we get closer to election date, of course, the potentials are either going to happen or they're not. The first potential is that there's no election. I have a very close relative who's been saying for 5 years there'll never be an election. But right now, 5 days from now, there's going to be an election. What could possibly happen between now and then to cause the president to declare martial law and suspend the election and put it off for several weeks, months, years? There are lots of things that could cause that to happen. One of them I wrote about in the newsletter. The United States has accused Russia of hacking into our electoral system, which they've flatly denied. And as a matter of fact, one of the candidates favored by the White House in the debates, she said that there are 17 American intelligence agencies who all agree that Russia has hacked into our electoral system. The first thought I had was 17. There are 17 American intelligence agencies, and they still took down the towers at 9/11. What do we need all those intelligence agencies for? The second thought I had was, all right, if that's true, then lay some evidence on the table. Release an email. Show us an opinion by a really smart IT guy. Show us something besides just saying Russia did it. And, of course, they haven't done that, which makes me nervous, because if they want to find an excuse for saying, look, we've got to have a fair election, everything needs to be open and above board, and we've detected that Russia may have interfered with our electoral process, and we want to make sure that our next president was chosen by the people and not by the Kremlin, et cetera, you can make up the words, then that would be one way to do it. Another possibility, just to be blunt about it, is that if the president wanted to suspend the election, he could, in fact, say, the FBI is an agency of the federal government. I am the head of the federal government. I don't think it's fair for my government to get involved 1 week before the election, 9 days before the election, by announcing an investigation of one of the candidates. And I would be taking the action I'm about to take, whichever candidate it was, which that would be a smart thing to say, but and then suspend the election for a few months in order to allow the FBI investigation to be concluded. Now, do I think either one of these scenarios will happen? I don't know. That's why I wrote the newsletter, to ask the question, are these potential, are they possibilities? The other possibility, which may be more likely, is that it won't be suspended, but it'll be stolen. When Donald Trump first began to talk about the subject of the election being rigged, he caught a lot of heat from people saying, well, that's outrageous, that could never happen. Well, people who said that don't know very much about American history.
Right.
West Virginia and Illinois were, how should I put this, the election results in those two states were changed at the end in order to provide enough votes to make sure that John Fitzgerald Kennedy went to the White House. Elections have been fixed or stolen probably as far back as the Roman Senate. I don't know that for sure, but people have been cheating for a long time in all kinds of locations and across the United States. There were 16, I think it was. No, I take it back. There were 100 precincts in Philadelphia in the last election in 2012, 100 in which there were zero votes cast for Romney. Now, you'd think there'd be at least one person in those 100 precincts who made a mistake, but zero votes is an indication of election fraud. It almost sounds like the old Russian elections where Stalin got all the votes. Then they realized it didn't look very good, so then they changed it so that in future elections you only got 80% of the vote. So that's the kind of thing that can happen. I heard about I don't watch these shows, but somebody told me that one of the late-night comedians recently said, well, on Tuesday night we'll know whether or not Donald Trump is the president or Hillary Clinton stole the election.
Let me throw something in here. You know, there has been many incidents right now of voter fraud that they've actually caught, and ones like the guy that he found on his neighbor's porch, that's an 80-some-year-old lady, and found like 3 or 4 packages of early vote, you know, in voting ballots in different names and packages on her front porch. It was for voter fraud. They spotted it in other places where the election machines have actually changed the vote. I believe that if the election is a close election, I believe that it can very well be stolen. If it is, it would have to win by a large margin in order to win, at least for a Republican, actually.
And I agree with that. I think it had to be a pretty large margin. If I can, for just a couple minutes here, let me tell you a true personal story.
Okay.
Back in Indiana many years ago, I was a candidate for a state office. And the day of the election, I started getting calls from our workers who said that when they went at 6 o'clock in the morning to vote on the machines, that they looked at the end of the machine where the counter is, and it showed that there had been 50 or 60 votes cast. And they asked the people there, what is that about? And they said, oh, that's normal. It's all right. Well, as the votes were finally counted, we found that the person I was running against, who was not a conservative or a Christian, won with approximately 50 to 60 votes extra per precinct, and he got that many more votes extra per precinct than the highest other candidate on the ballot, which in most cases was a local judge.
Right.
So I went to the Federal Bureau of Investigation because it's vote fraud, and there are federal statutes that deal with that. And the agents took the information, they did the research, and frankly, we had gone through the books, so we realized that there were more people who voted than there were who showed up, if you get my meaning. And they came back to my office, and they were very kind, and they said, sir, we would like to be able to tell you that we're going to proceed. And we're not going to, they said, but it's not because you're wrong, you're right. There were approximately 50 to 60 votes added on each machine in the district. And I said, well, then why aren't you proceeding? And they said, well, the district attorney for this area has decided that because she's on the other side of the party from you, that it would be embarrassing, and so we're just going to have to let this go, and good luck next time. So they can't tell me that there's electoral fraud because I've experienced it myself.
Okay, that's a good place to break in because we're going to have to go to a break. Folks, his website is the endofamericabook.com, and has it, we've got about 30 seconds, but is it available over there still or what?
Yeah, if you go to Amazon Kindle, it's available for 99 cents as a Kindle download. And for people that don't have Kindle download on their computer or their phone or their laptop, and they want the actual soft cover book in their hand, they can order on Amazon, and I think it's something like $14. Digital publishing on Kindle is a lot cheaper, obviously, but if they want to get the actual book, they can do that. But both of them are on Amazon Kindle.
All right. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more John Price and the End of America. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, you know, most people don't understand what we do. I mean, from a typical either middle-class person or higher-income person, and they look at the Wichita Mission Church in one of the poorest and crime-ridden parts of the city, they think this, and some of them even say this, why would anyone waste their time with those people, especially in that part of town with all that crime at the risk of their very lives? The Word shines much light on this, as Yeshua was even accused of this, as recorded in Matthew 11:18-19. For John came neither eating and drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. He spent his time among those that needed him as he came to the lost. So what better place could we be than where Messiah was among the sinners? It's also recorded that Yeshua himself poured into the least of these. Matthew 25 to 31 to 46 records, "When the Son of Man shall come in all his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word also tells us that he called the believers his friends. And this is what John said about that, as recorded in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And indeed, he laid his life down for his friends. That's you, the saved. So do you think that there is no saved among the poor? You understand? Those people are your neighbors. Tuesday, folks, this young lady was at the mission church, was facing a very, very severe medical problem on the next morning, Wednesday. She came over to me, and I could feel and see she was a real mess as she started to talk, but she could only cry. I hugged her until she calmed down a bit. And then I anointed her with oil, and she cried as I prayed. But the Spirit came upon her, and she calmed. She stopped crying and was so thankful that she came to me because she trusted me, something that comes from all the other things you do, that we do for the folks. You see, I could just go on and on and on, but I don't have the time, as a radio program only gives us so much time. So, folks, pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church, as we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, because this is really, really, really important. We're trying to warn you of the time that we're in, and there is so little time before Yeshua's return. And I believe that if you are on your face, that he'll lead you in what to do, whether it's leave the country or go here or there or to do what. But you must have that personal relationship, and so you must wake up to the time. And remember, radio airtime isn't free, and this program sells nothing. So it's your kind donations that keep us on the air. You can donate online, or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with John Price. He wrote the book called The End of America. And we're talking about the election and maybe the aftermath of the election, what could or couldn't be. And so are you with us, John? And I have an opening question for you.
Okay, yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Out of your thing, letter or, you know, email that you sent out, you brought up the Israeli-Palestinian rim and saying that maybe the president might be able to, might butt in on that as a last minute thing, like say if Trump won. What do you think about that?
Well, there have been at least three pretty reliable news sources in the last couple weeks who have said that Secretary of State John Kerry and the president intend to, I would put it in this phrase, to punish Israel in the United Nations. And the way they would do it, ever since the UN was formed, if the Security Council tried to adopt a resolution that had the effect of hurting Israel, the United States would always veto it. Never, up to this point in time, has the U.S. ever gone along with the numerous anti-Israel resolutions that are submitted. But what these articles are saying is that once the election's over and the heat is off and the president supposedly is leaving office 2.5 months later, that he would be in a position to say to France and the other people who are pushing the two-state solution resolution in the UN that we won't veto. And if that happens, the major problem with that is that Israel would be betrayed by its major friend in the world, the United States. And the other problem is that if it's actually adopted and we don't veto it, then the only way to repeal the resolution is to get five of the members of the Security Council to come in and vote to repeal it, which would be almost impossible since most of the member states in the UN, not all, but most of them hate Israel. So the problem with this is that God says...
Just a second. Isn't a large percentage, the largest percentage of the United Nations, aren't they Islamic?
A huge percentage. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it'd probably be maybe a third, 35%, 40%. There are a lot of them, of course. And because God said in Genesis 12:3, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you, and curse Israel, I'll curse you. If we do that, we're really asking for trouble. Big time trouble between now and the inauguration on January 20th next year. So that's something to be concerned about, because here's the reality, Pastor Dan. There are a lot of Christians, and I talk to them, I get email from them, who think that this election is going to heal America, that if we can just get one candidate or the other to win, then all of our spiritual problems are going to be taken care of because we've shown at the ballot box how strong we are. But that's not how God works. He doesn't say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and vote and show me how strong they are, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And since we have now murdered in the womb 70 million innocent human babies, and we've lit up the front of the White House with rainbow colors after same-sex marriage became the law of the land, and the use of what used to be illegal drugs is now being legalized across the country. The problem with all of this, of course, is that how can America expect to be healed? How can we expect to be blessed by God? How can we expect to have these bad situations in our past and future reversed if we don't change? If we don't repent and we don't turn back to Him, why would He say, well, you know, I know you didn't repent, and I know you really haven't changed your heart, and I know you've got your back still turned to me, and you've kicked me out of your schools, and you've kicked me out of a lot of your homes, and you've kicked me out of many of your churches. But, you know, America is so exceptional, I'm just going to forget my normal rules, and I'm just going to bless you. I don't think it works that way.
I don't think it works that way either. And there's a good point, and I've made that same point on many, many radio programs, because people keep using that scripture about, you know, the Nineveh scripture, I call it, to, you know, he will, if we pray, He'll heal the land. But it also says that we have to repent. So we have to repent of those things that you were just talking about. And I don't see that for the huge portion of America.
No, and here's the scary thing. The poll polls that have been taken by Barna of the millennials, the younger people, people like 30 younger, they don't think abortion is wrong. They don't think that same-sex marriage is wrong. They don't think that illegal drug use is wrong. And I'm talking now about Christians who are millennials.
Right.
Now, if that's the future of the country, which it is, because eventually the next generation takes over, then we are double toast. Is there such a thing as double toast? We're toast twice.
It's called burnt.
We are burnt toast.
Yeah, it's called burnt toast. And I agree wholeheartedly. All I could see that the possibility, and I mean, this is a narrow thing, if that we may be given, with Trump, we may be given a small window to repent and really change ourselves, and or for the church to wake up enough to leave it, or, you know, but I just don't know, because I believe a Trump presidency, I think, amen, I am for Trump. Of course I couldn't vote for Hillary because of all the horrendous thing that she's for. But the point is, Trump won't all of this violence and everything, don't you think violence would erupt across this country? I think it would either way.
Well, let me give you two quick verses to confirm what you just said. Jeremiah 51:38, her people all roar like young lions. They growl like lion cubs. And then verse 39 says that the people of the daughter of Babylon will be aroused. Then 49 says, one rumor comes this year, another the next. Rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler. If we start seeing across the country the kind of violence that we saw in Ferguson, Missouri a year or so ago, whoever's behind it, if violence breaks out and fires begin to get set and people are aroused, then Pastor Dudeman, who had prophecies from the Lord on this subject, would be vindicated, because he said that God showed him that in the middle of the country that revolution would break out, and then eventually violence in the streets across the country and fires and that kind of difficulty.
And then those things happen. Would be the destruction, but that would come first.
That's very well said. It's not the destruction. It might seem like it to some people if they're in the middle of it, but it's not the destruction. But it's a preliminary step. And then once those things happen, then destruction comes. When we betray Israel, when Israel's invaded and we say, forget you, we're not going to come to your defense.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's go with this. And you're absolutely right. You said, well, let's go with this. Ferguson, we know the protesters, by the protesters themselves, were supposed to be paid. The main ones were supposed to be paid $5,000 apiece because they didn't get paid, so they protested about not getting paid. And that was George. Well, they did. That's how it was confirmed. The conspiracy theory was proved. And it was Soros's money. And we find that again in Hillary's emails, that and with the Veterans Project, that they were causing riots at Trump rallies.
Yep.
Because
they paid
Trump
people to go in and beat up on people and cause riots. Now, if that had been on the other shoe, on the other foot, we'd still be reading headlines about it.
Well, absolutely. And I believe if Trump wins, I don't believe that they'll just, okay, stop. I think they
will. No, it'll get worse. It'll get worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they said, I heard a person say one time, if you want to find out things about yourself you never knew, you should run for office. the media will make up stuff.
Well, this media that we, and you know what, one of the most surprising things about this election has been is by seeing the people that have came out against Trump, people that we thought were conservatives or thought wasn't globalists, where all of a sudden, you know, you see that practically all of the media is in the pocket for globalists. You see that practically, that every president since Reagan has been a globalist. You see, and so, you know, it just finds it so hard for me to conceive that with all of this money spent, all the lives spent, so on and so forth, that these globalists would allow somebody like Trump to come in office and try to stop it? What do you think?
Well, the globalists don't give up. Look what happened in Britain this week. The people of Britain shocked the world by passing Brexit, saying we want out of the European Union. We don't want to be part of the globalist plan in the future. We're tired of the people in Brussels telling us what size teapot we can buy. And you would think that would be the end of it. But they went to a court. The globalists went to a court in England, and that court, I think it was yesterday, said, oh, no. Even though the people voted on that, it still has to go before the British Parliament. Well, the problem with that is a big majority of the members of the British Parliament were against Brexit. So it was a diabolical move on their part because they knew it would throw it into a body where they are going to say, no, we don't want Brexit. Well, what about the people who voted for it? It was supposed to be a national binding referendum. Unfortunately, the Brits don't have much of a background or policy of taking to the streets.
Right.
But this has the potential. It might do it.
Well, I don't know. You know, and you see some of the, you know, I say the world's in turmoil. You see so much of the Europe is being destroyed by all of the immigrants, refugees as they call them. I don't know what else you would call them, but Germany's being destroyed by them. France is being destroyed by them. That world over there is up in flames. What do you think?
Well, Trump today in one of his speeches that I saw part on TV said that he had a very good friend that every year would go to Paris and that he would come to his office and tell him the new things he'd seen and done in Paris. He said, I just saw him last week. And I said, Trump said, how was Paris? And he said, oh, I haven't been to Paris for 2 or 3 years. And he said, why not? And he said, well, it's been taken over by the Muslims. It's not worth going to anymore. And, of course, London, same thing. Less than half of the people who live in London are British. A majority of the kindergarten children in France are Muslim. And, of course, Andrea Merkel is to blame for a lot of this because by allowing a million, I don't know if you call them a refugee or not, but a million Muslims to come across the border and then come in and demand that they receive money from the government so that they could have free housing and free medical and so forth. It's not significantly different in type from what the U.S. is doing. It's just that the numbers are a lot bigger.
Well, right, because the numbers, the bigger numbers in a smaller country, you know.
Right. Well, that's true, too. That's right, because what are they, about 60 million, something like that? Put a million people in 60 million, that's bound to have an effect. As we're speaking here, I have the television on in the background. I almost always watch Fox, but I have CNN on because I can get the closed caption. And they just had a headline on here saying, America's hate groups back Trump. I'd like to know how they define hate groups. That's probably First Baptist Church on the corner.
Well, it's just anybody that doesn't go along with them. See, that's a devastating thing. They're labeling Christians. That's what you have to think about. They're basically labeling Christians as hate groups, and that's what's already going on right over here in the United States. We're already fighting battles, not just over the bathroom issues, but it's in the church where they're telling pastors, "You have to this guy that's dressed up like a woman. You've got to call him a woman." Well, it doesn't matter if it's against that pastor's belief or not. There are already court battles over that. And so if we get Hillary and we get that, this place will be Sodom and Gomorrah because every evil leftist thing will be here to destroy Christianity. And that's what's at stake for this election. I just pray that. I don't know. Go ahead.
You have to look at what comes out of a person's mouth, and unfortunately, Hillary Clinton said that. Let me get the exact quote here. That we have to change the deep-seated cultural codes and religious beliefs and structural biases of the people of America. When I first read that, I thought, wait a minute, a candidate for president of the United States is campaigning, saying that part of what she wants to do is to change our religious beliefs? Unbelievable. Well, and then the WikiLeaks thing showed that her campaign manager said that Catholics need to get organized and get rid of the middle-aged dictatorship. That's what they call the Pope. Get rid of a middle-aged dictatorship. So her campaign is based upon an anti-religious freedom approach. And if she wins, because she has the proven ability over 30 years to remember what people said and did, you know, there are some people in life that never forget any slight that ever happened to them. She'll be going after Christians in a big way, which would also confirm prophecy, Pastor Dan, because it says that in the Daughter of Babylon, before the end, there'll be strangers in the sanctuary and blood in the church. Now, today, you'd say, oh, how could that be? But the IRS made an agreement a year and a half ago that they agreed to put monitors into churches to make sure they weren't saying anything about candidates for office. And, of course, they'd have to take tape recorders, so they'd be strangers in the church. As far as blood, we haven't seen that yet, but I don't think we should be surprised if it happens.
And we got to consider all these Christians that were slaughtered in the Middle East. That hangs on Hillary Clinton and Obama, on America, because it's a proven fact now by the various WikiLeaks emails, that which we knew this anyway. It's just that this election proved so much. Conspiracy theories are no longer conspiracy theories. She and Obama created ISIS. She and Obama sold them guns. She and Obama made sure that they were funded by Saudi Arabia. So whoever they slaughtered, is the blood is on them, and that's Babylon.
Yeah, that's true. There's nobody else to blame.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got about a minute left, about a minute and a half. Any final thoughts for the people? And tell them where your website's at, too. Absolutely.
Oh, it's www.endofamericabook.com. Not the end of America, just endofamericabook.com. And we have on there an hour presentation and some resource information about prophecy, the links to Amazon and Kindle. We've had almost a million visitors to that website in the last few years, so it's gotten a little bit of attention. So the last thing I would say is that if a person is listening to this and they're frightened because they say, I know America's going down the chutes, I know it's a bad situation, and they're beginning to panic because they don't know where their ultimate hope is, and their ultimate hope would be in a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then that's the most important thing of all. You know, moving out of the country is what Scripture talks about, but if you're not a believer and you're a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ personally, then it wouldn't make much difference where you move. So the key here, I think, is to make sure that your heart is right with the Lord and then do the rest of what he says in his word to do.
Absolutely. Same advice that I always give. You have to have that personal relationship. Once you gain that personal relationship, he'll tell you what to do because you will hear from him. Well, John, thanks so much for being on with me. I really appreciate you being on, and you're a man that, you know, you said what you believed, and then you acted on it. You moved your family, and so that says a lot about your character.
Well, thank you for having me on. I look forward to doing it again after the election.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, will you be blessed?
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Pastor.
Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, that's John Price, the End of America book. Anyway, go over there and check it out. It's endofamericabook.com. Of course, we'll have a link to this wherever you are listening to it in archives. And consider, remember, I'm looking for somebody out there that knows how to make an app for me. But pray about it. We're still needing some things to get on video. We're really close. We're waiting for some things to get here to us in the mail. Camera's one of them. That fellow keeps forgetting to send it, but the other one said he sent it by slow boat mail, and so I'm praying they hurry up and get here because we really do need those things for this ministry. And we need another computer and or laptop. I also need a video screen. But consider that, because video, not just video, but the ministry revolves around radio. That's how we fund the church. And anyway, pray about a donation tonight if you can. We must remember there is only one God, and He is who? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. That's how He identified Himself, was by 3 days and 3 nights. Don't let anybody tell you different. Anyway, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for my Messiah's return, because there's not going to be peace anywhere until He returns. And so pray for it. We are ordered to pray for Jerusalem. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, would You please bless these people, and please shine Your face upon them, and please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.